Now,
for me, from the inception of the promises to the fruition of the promises, as a scientist, how it was laid to me was like pregnancy. Now, normal physiology quickly, you have your ovaries that carry the egg, and then during ovulation, they move to the fallopian tubes, which are the tubes that are meant to carry the egg. And then there's fertilization, right? And then, now the problem is, after fertilization, the zygote will have to grow, right? So now the problem is, the fallopian tubes is less than a centimeter, which then means it cannot grow in the fallopian tubes. It has to be taken to a more suitable environment, which is the uterus. Now, in the uterus, it then grows. Now, as it grows, it's nourished and supplied with nutrients by the environment. So which then means the environment, when you are pregnant with the promises of God, is of utmost importance. Now, if for some reason the fertilized egg does not move from the fallopian tubes, it grows, stretches the tubes up until they burst. That's what we call an ectopic pregnancy. So that can be life-threatening. So then up until it's in the thing, now the growth is sustained, maintained by the uterus. And then after a predetermined, preset time, which is usually about 9 months, then there's labor. Then from labor, now labor, to summarize, is divided into 3 stages. The first stage is when it starts, the pains are mild. You can feel there's a pain, but the woman will tell it's mild once every 15 minutes. Then you move to the second stage of labor, where the pains now are on steroids. Like they are on steroids. Now they are like once every 5 minutes, once every 3 minutes, once every 2 minutes. They are unbearable. Then there's birth. So with that picture in mind, from fertilization, this is the fallopian tube. It cannot remain here because the environment is not suitable. It is then moved to a more conducive environment. Then from that, there's process of growth. And then there's giving birth, which is the fruition of the promises of God. So with that platform, and my hands now off it. On that platform, let's delve into the word of God. Now, we can read the first scripture for me. Oh, sorry, I always forget the title. Terms and conditions always apply. So that's the title. Yeah, you can read.
Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 to 2, New Living Translation. Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense.
Sing, O you barren woman. I've spoken of this scripture many times. Sing, O you barren woman. So a woman who does not have conception, who's never ever fallen pregnant, the Bible says she must sing. She must celebrate, even though the pregnancy is not there. It then says, you who is without husband. Like, how do you have a child without a husband? Let's just start there. Immaculate conception does not happen with everyone. So how do you have a child without husband? So which then means you meant to be celebrating something that is not there. Now, it's not just that, that's not enough. It even goes to the extent of saying you are meant to be celebrating when there's not even a hope of conception. It says, it is easy for a woman who has a husband to believe she can fall pregnant. But the Bible says, barren woman who is without husband must sing. So akunandoda, but already the Bible is telling you to celebrate. For more are the children of one who is without husband than the one who is with. So which then means, that's the first part. You first need to believe what God has said. If God says, that the people always want material examples, that's okay. If God has said, we are going to live in Aspen Hills Estate, that time, I don't have an account. You don't even have a Capitec account. You are unemployed. You don't have a personal number. Yet they are saying you are going to live in Aspen Hills. Like, do you understand? That's the first part. Can you read the next scripture to tie them together? Try to be quick. Yeah.
Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, New International Version. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Now, here's Abraham. God has given him the promise. He then says, now that he's received the promise, God then realizes that the environment that he's in is not suitable for the plans God have for him. So, like the egg that has been fertilized, it cannot remain in the fallopian tubes. Which then means when God has spoken something in your life, a promise or a gift, the environment that you were in before the promise and the inception of the pregnancy to where you need to be for its fulfillment, it's not the same. Which then means Abraham was here. God then gave him a promise and said, move. Because the family and the influences that were there were not conducive to the fulfillment of the promise. Now, the problem also is, it's possible sometimes we may receive, let's say, going back to the material things, because that's what people understand. If they say you will drive a Land Cruiser 4.5 V8 VX, all-wheel drive, all-terrain system. If they say you're going to drive that, and you happen to have an uncle that is a multimillionaire who loves you, it's safe to assume that yes, maybe God may place something in his heart, angzameng Land Cruiser. Like, do you understand? Yes. But now God here is saying, move from where you are. And now here's the funny thing. God does not tell him where he's going. He says, move. So the same way if the man of God has said, God has given you a gift of prophecy. Now, you don't even know where that starts. Like, you don't know where that starts. Now, he then says it will happen. He does not tell you the process of how it's going to happen, but he has told you that it's going to happen. So now, like Abraham, the environment that he was in was not conducive for what he was carrying. So he needed to be moved to a more suitable area. Now, the moving to the more suitable area can be physical and it can be spiritual. Now, let's read the next scripture, Genesis 46, 1 to 4. This is the physical moving. Yeah, you can read it.
Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 to 4, New International Version. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes.
Genesis 46 says, to read it quickly. So Israel set out with all that he was. He's talking about Jacob. And when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob, here I am, I replied. I am the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation. So you first need to go to Egypt for me to fulfill the promises that I will make you into a great nation. Now, I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your hand. Now, sometimes when we receive the promises of God, we want to remain where we are, our comfortable place, where, for example, let's say maybe God wants to use you mightily, and you happen to have friends that are not conducive to that calling, yet you want to retain them. Do you understand? Because now we then justify it by, I'm like Paul to the Jews, I became a Jew. To the Hebrews, I became a Hebrew so that I may win as many as I can. We are using such scripts that to justify remaining where we were before we received the word. Yet God has said the environment that you are in is not conducive to the growth of what I've deposited in you. It's like the fertilized egg insisting on remaining in the fallopian tubes, refusing to go to the uterus. Now, this is the physical manifestation. So some of us, maybe the reason why God is not moving in our lives is because we are refusing to move from where God has said we must move. Physical. And now, you can read the next scripture. Now there's the physical refusing to move where you are. Sometimes maybe God may have told you that leave the current ministry that you are in. Go somewhere else. But people are refusing. How many times have you seen it where God has placed you in a particular ministry, but there's no longer life there, but yet you are insisting on remaining because you know everyone, you have grown up in that, your whole family is on Tola Sekaya. But God has said, move. The same way he had told Abraham, go to move to a land that I will give you. Now, that's the physical movement that is required. Now, we're going to also look at this spiritual movement that needs to happen for us to take hold of that which God has promised for our lives. So we can read the next scripture.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Can you read verse 2 again?
Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
So do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So sometimes some of us, we need to move mentally. There's a word that said, we demolish arguments and any pretension that sets itself against the word of God. Taking captive of every thought, taking captive of every thought, making it obedient to Christ, taking captive of every single thought. So do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world. So sometimes, because we grew up watching ministries on TV where we are receiving teachings that are not necessarily in line with the word of God. Like, for example, you have a pastor that your father had been listening to for years, so you grow up believing that this is a true servant of God. So now, some of the teachings that they are still giving out to their people are not conducive to what God is now doing in your life. So now, you first need to be transformed. So the Bible says, when you get saved, there's a new creation, out with the old and in with the new. So meaning you are no longer the old self. You are the new creation. Now the problem is because the world has taught us how to think and what to say, what to believe in. We want to do things as the world does it. Like, you understand? For God to use me, this is what the world said I must do. I must light my candle, white or black, whatever they do. I must light this candle. I must cover my head. I must not show my feet. This is how I know how to be close to God. But Jesus, when he spoke to the woman at the well, he says, a time will come when the true worshippers of God will worship him in spirit and in truth. Because the woman was talking about customs, the things that he is used to doing. That's why God, in, I think it's Isaiah, he says, people worship me with rituals that are taught by men. So most of us, we come before God and we believe we are worshiping him, but we are using what we are taught by men. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Like, for example, when you come into the presence of God, sense, we're together, you must just, we're serious. Like, and then when you share in church, you can't just get up like, well, what time? Now we just speak. You need to gather yourself. You are drawing inspiration from open heaven. But now, God does not operate that way. It does not work that way. And unfortunately, a lot of us have customs that we are doing without realizing. And that is religion. There's a certain way that I must worship. There's a certain type of song worship team must sing for me to connect. I know. Hallelujah. To me, send me more than Chalo Ungu Jehovah Opilayo Gunapagate. Hallelujah. You see, some of us, that is what worship is to us. And that is the only way we can connect to God. And I used to be guilty of that. There were certain songs that needed to be played for me to pray. I've graduated from there. So unfortunately, without realizing, we are still using customs of the world. We are still using the teachings of the world to worship God. And unfortunately, it does not work. So now we need to come on a clean slate. We must restore to factory settings. Remove all the apps that had been installed. Those apps that you believe you can't live without. There must be Opera Mini. There must be App Gallery. Remove the App Gallery. Restore to factory settings. And God will determine how you need to praise and worship him. The problem is, as a flesh, you can't claim to know what God wants. Unfortunately, you can't. But the Holy Spirit was given so that he can reveal that to us. And unfortunately, most of us are not tapped into that. We can move to the next scripture. Now, we've moved from inception. We've moved from moving to a suitable environment. Now we've come to an environment that is suitable. Now there's the growth. So the same way a woman who's pregnant, as soon as she knows she's pregnant, there are some things she cannot do anymore. If she's used to taking Savannah, the 750 ml, after every afternoon, now you can't drink Savannah. If you are used to taking strong painkillers, you can't take strong painkillers. If you are used to cannabis once in a while, you can't do it anymore. Because now you are pregnant. Because you know that every single thing that you are taking in will have a direct influence on what you are carrying. That's why if you notice when a woman goes to a pharmacy when she's pregnant, she says, Nkela, what? But I'm pregnant. Tells the pharmacy that I'm pregnant. Why? Because she knows that in the state that she's in, she can no longer take the things she's used to taking. She cannot eat or drink the things she's used to drinking. The same way, when you are carrying what God has given you, you cannot do certain things you used to do anymore. You cannot be found when you have received something from God. It does not work. You cannot be around friends of yours that flip. Unfortunately, there are certain things you cannot watch anymore that are not conducive. Like yesterday, I was watching Godfather, and they said something. My daughter was like, Papa, have you noticed you always watch these shows where they say these bad words? Eight-year-old, by the way. So there are things that you cannot do anymore, unfortunately. Now, the promise is growing. Let's remember that. You can read the first scripture, or the next scripture, sorry.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, New International Version. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received.
Now, you ought to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received. Like the pregnant woman who cannot drink Savannah anymore. Or Entropy. The brand is a new drink, but Centropy or Entropy, something like that. A Puzo Masley Queens. I'm not pretending that you don't know it. I know that you're garbage. Something like the Centropy or Entropy, I'm not sure what it is. As a pregnant woman, you cannot drink that anymore. As a child of God who's carrying a gift or something God has deposited in your life, you need to live a life that is worthy of that calling. The same way David says, search my heart, O God. Test me and see if there's any anxious way in me. So you need to be constantly reevaluating if you are conducting yourself in a way that is in keeping with the promise that you are carrying. Now, the first one is the conduct. Now we can move to the second part that you ought to be doing while what you are carrying is growing. Yeah, you can read it.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 11, English Standard Version. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The second part that you are doing while you are waiting for the fruition is to be of service to others. Can I say something? And my aim is not to offend, but the Bible says, speak the truth in love. Yeah, I can always fall back on that one. If you have a relationship with God and you hear God, then it's not possible that you can be in a house of God where Jesus is and you don't serve. It's that simple. then you are not as mature as you believe you are. If you are in a church of God, where there is Jesus, and you hear him, and you are full of the Spirit, and you are not serving, you are not as mature as you believe you are. The Bible says, Jesus came, emptied himself. Hang it, emptied himself, became a servant. Ne? The Bible says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So which means we ought to mimic Christ in everything that he does. The disciples are fighting amongst themselves. Go to who's the greatest. Then Jesus hears the discussion and says, the greatest amongst you is a servant. Now, if you are not a servant, then you are not great. And if A is equals to B, B is equals to C, A is equals to C. Even OBE can follow that one. Now, to not waste time, when you walk into church, security is showing where to park. First person to serve you. After parking by the door, an usher is taking you to where you sit. Second person serving you. When you come in, the place is clean. Third person serving you. When you come to sit, someone put the chair there. Fourth person serving you. When you are sitting, there's light. Someone put in the clothes. Fifth person serving you. As you are sitting there, you are hearing me speak to you. AV serving you, sixth person. Seven, I always forget, is it worship or choir? They are singing in front. Seventh person serving you. Hang it. When it comes, the seventh that is here, teaching, if you call it that, eighth person serving you. When it's time for offerings, someone comes with a basket, ninth person serving you. Hang it. As the church goes on, IHC is giving messages, 10 person serving you. So, and then Masoketa, you go back. I get Montreal Lapo information desk, baby, those fancy things there. 11 person serving you. So, every single day, a minimum of 11 people are serving you. Yet you are mature. Does that make sense? Like, honestly, let's just be real. We'll forgive each other tomorrow. Let's be real. 11 people are serving you every single time you come to service. And you are okay with coming and going. Oh, I almost forgot. Someone is summarizing the word. Put it on the phone. 12 person serving you. Minimum. So, when I got to Ramaphosa, we are serving you. Everyone is serving you. Do you know the church where I was saved in Devon? Sorry to take time. Just this thing of service is personal to me. Church I come from, his people where I got saved. Size almost as us, like this. They always used to say, we are small enough to appreciate you, but big enough to accommodate you. So, the way people were serving in that place, I was an usher. Do you know I used to serve once a month because there were just too many people serving. We had to have a roster. We had to have a roster. So it was once every 4 weeks for me to serve. People were fighting to serve. Yet in this ministry, there's going to be carols. They might say, we need people. Same faces. Same faces. You know, the same faces. Revival. But, oh, we need to clean. Same faces. Same people. And can I be controversial? And then we accuse people of having cliques. The problem is they are not cliques, is that they are always serving. So that's why they are always together. Sometimes. Ow. Okay. So the conduct, let's leave it that one there. Conducting yourself, be of service. And the third one is prepare yourself for the harvest. Now, a pregnant woman this is very irritating to the husband, will then want to prepare for the baby that is coming. Will then go in a room, I paint green, pink or blue. What are those tables? I'm a drawer now. Chest of drawer. Yeah, ne? We're in a chest of drawer on the corner there, and the cot bed, and then that seat, if you have money, that seat where they breastfeed. They have a special seat for breastfeeding. They're preparing a room. Baby's a Nazari. Yeah, in Nazari. You be like, baby's a Nazari. Baby's in Nazari. You must ask, I'm a coconut and I want to baby's a Nazari. Yes, Nazri. You see, Tenaz is the Nazari. No. So, a pregnant mother, even though she has not physically seen the baby, is preparing to receive the baby. Which then means when you are carrying that gift or the promise of God, what are you doing to prepare for receiving it? See, the thing is, if you prepare to receive it, it means you believe you are going to receive it. See, the Bible says, Abraham pictured the walls and the foundation of a city whose builder is God. While in the desert, surrounded by scorpions and rattlesnakes, he was picturing the walls of the city that God had given him. Meaning, every single thing that he does, like the pregnant woman, he does because knowing it will add value to that which they are going to receive. So while you are carrying this promise of God, how are you preparing to receive it? Now, we can read the scripture. Where's your spiritual nursery? You can read it, sorry.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 to 27, New International Version. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Paul says, I train myself or abuse my body like Usain Bolt does as he's preparing for the 100-meter Olympics. So every single thing that he does, it has a purpose. He says, I do not run aimlessly. I run with a purpose. The same way a bodybuilder, when he eats 7 times a day, even when he's not hungry, it's because he knows that when I eat this tuna that is about 7 grams of protein, it's going to add to the muscle that will come in the future. Every single thing has a purpose. So now Apostle Paul is saying, I do not run aimlessly. I know why I'm running, which means there's discipline. Which then means when you are carrying that pregnancy, now I get you are pregnant in the spirit. When you are carrying it, every single thing that you do, every time you spend reading the word of God is in preparation for what's coming. Every single time you pray, it's in preparation for what is coming. Every single time when you attend a service is in preparation of what is coming. Because we don't come to church because we're going to take register. Good prophet will see, good time here. No, we come because we are aimlessly, intentionally doing every single thing that we do in preparation for what is coming. Every single thing. Now, if you think about it this way, then you realize every single thing that I do on a daily basis that is not adding to what is coming, it's a waste of time. Now, Apostle Paul then also said, another version said, I do not do shadow boxing. I do not just punch in the air without purpose. I do everything that I do to prepare me for what is coming. So, while we are waiting for this child to grow in the womb, how we conduct ourselves is important. being of service to others is important. And then how we prepare ourselves, the training and the discipline that is required has a purpose. Let's move to the next scripture. Now, the child has grown. Now there's labor that needs to come. Now there's a first stage of labor where the contractions are mild, and then there's a second stage of labor where huanyiwa. So with that in mind, we're starting with the first stage of labor where small troubles come along. The parable of the sower, one of the things it says, as soon as they receive the word, troubles come to challenge and attack the word. So this is the minor contractions, the first stage of labor. You can read it.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 11, New Living Translation. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you.
In NIV, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but never abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Okay, hard-pressed, mar. Or you feel like scripture say abaleka nje. You just need to vent. Or you just want to take it out gumageza nje on the road. Have you ever been hard-pressed, man? So now, the thing is, Jesus said, the world did not love me, so it will not love you. It will not love you. The world never loved me. It will not love you. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. So when those problems come, you take heart because you know the one that you are following has overcome the world. The small contractions that are coming, it's fine. All the other women have gone through the same labor. This labor pains. And I'm asking, why are you making noise? This is first stage. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. So let's move on to the second stage of labor.
Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, New International Version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So as he was sitting, a nail is going to go through the hand. That whip is going to remove flesh. All that, what kept him going is the joy that is set before him. So, as a second stage of labor, when those contractions now are hitting one every 3 minutes. Now, if you walk into, side note, if you walk to para labor ward to show you how intense these pains are, the reason why they don't allow escort to come in is because at the peak of contractions, women forget they're naked. They walk around like this. Naked. Naked. At the heart of contractions. Now, the Bible says when that was on his mind. What kept him going. When you are going to go through those contractions, when the enemy now is hitting hard, when the sheriff tells you, Monday, 10 a.m., please make sure the keys are ready. I am there. Yeah. When you have not met the sheriff, you have not left. When you're there, when the bank tells you the house has already been auctioned and the new owner has called you to tell you, when can I take possession of my house? When you're there, those are contractions. One every 3 minutes. One every 3 minutes. I'm a scripture, Ibalek. When you're there, Ibalek, if they have not taken root in you, see, it's easy to say, it's easy to say, Lord, I will never leave you. Hey, I will never leave you, Lord. God, that before Hoho, before Mukoko, Ukoko, whatever the Mukoko does, before he does that, you would have denied me 3 times. Atibani, Jesus, Mina, never, Lord. I will go to the grave with you. When it's come, it's very nice. When it's come, you will quote those scriptures. Greater is he that is in me. You will quote them. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those ones, they are easy to quote when everything imnand. Ask our apostle. When the Satan himself visits you in your bedroom, I'm a scripture, I'm a legal. If they are not in you, now the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now, when these contractions are hitting, now, in labor word, it reaches a point where the women want to give up. Uzokutshela angisafuni next. You tell him, mntwana, the child will die. She's not interested. I am done. This is when the nurses then encourage. But come on. Come on, you can do it. Almost where they spare you on. Now, this is where it is important who you surround yourself with while the contraction are at their most. Because these are the people that will spare you on. The people who understand what God has deposited in you, these are the people that will spare you on. The people who will bring you closer to Jesus. And then Babu Nuguti, abantu besantini bagcwele nje. Like they usually are. Bagcwele bavala indlela. What are we doing? Then bafana ba DK. Take him on the roof. Open the roof. Lower him down to Jesus. Now, at your weakest, who is going to go through the roof for you? Who is going to go through the roof for you? Now, the Bible, sinuses. The Bible says, Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the lame man. Have you noticed that? The Bible says nothing about their faith. From the beginning to the end, they don't tell us about the lame man. We know that he's lame, but we know nothing about his faith. But the Bible then says, Jesus saw their faith. And then after he sees their faith, who does Jesus address? He addresses the lame man. Not our Fanabasi TK. He addresses the lame man. And says, your sins are forgiven. Because of the people he surrounded himself with when he was at his weakest. That's what made a difference. Wow. My hands now. So, who you surround yourself with while you are caring, while contractions are at their most, where you find yourself in at that time, because this is where people start separating themselves. People start, someone has fallen, they leave church. This is where you separate yourself. This is where, when the pride of lions come before a herd of buffaloes, there's always that one buffalo that just goes to the side. And that's the one that is chowed. Now, at your weakest, while your promise is almost breaking through, who are you surrounding yourself with? That's what's important. Now, and a lot of people have forfeited their promises because of that. Because at its worst, I remember when we started a business, we're not making profit. Then in November, Ama Rats, they chowed wires in the car. Went to Reynolds, but it's 7,000. I was like, oh, okay. Right, like a rapatanis. Later on, the Reds chowed again. This time, 21,000. So at that time, I'm telling my leader, this business thing, I'm going back to government. That time at government, I'm making 55K, Baba, after deductions. 55K. Life was good then. Then God says, go in the business. Where you are celebrating 1,000 rand. Baba. We were celebrating 1,000 rand. That time, I'm telling my leader, and the worst thing I know, just make a call. One call, I'm hired. Even now, one call, I'm hired. I'm just a dime and I'm going back to public. The man says, hold on. Hold on. A week later, prophet. So, on that note, one more scripture. This one I didn't give you guys. After the labor, and the child has come out. When the mother is celebrating and forgetting that she was swearing at the nurses. Forgetting that she was swearing at the nurses. Once the child has come out. When you think all is hunky-dory, then God throws a caps ball. So, your in-laws, they don't just want one grandchild. After that pain you went through, they want the second and the third one. Which means you are going to go through that labor two more times. Now, God, to tell you that these labors are going to come, he then says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The path of the righteous, from glory to glory, meaning after the glory of have given birth, another one. It never ends. I was speaking to Pastor Fancy the other day. Sometimes, because just when you think you have overcome, another one comes.